You're listening to Midori House, first broadcast on the 9th of July 2014 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to Midori House, coming to you live from Studio One. I'm Andrew Tuck. On today's show,
we will not tolerate rockets fired at our cities, our communities and our children. Hamas will pay a very high price. We're in the midst of a military campaign. We must be, as I've said once and I'm saying again, patient, determined and assertive.
As hostilities between Israel and Gaza continue, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to intensify the campaign against Hamas as long as his country remains under threat. Daniela Peled, editor of the Institute of War and Peace Reporting, and James Schneider, editor of Think Africa Press, will join me to discuss that and the day's other key stories.
Without unity, we are finished. Everything else is death. And we become a chaotic country. We become a real, people say we are a failed nation. I want to tell them that we are not a failed nation.
And as South Sudan celebrates its third anniversary, we'll assess if there are any signs of hope as instability continues in the world's youngest nation. And before the end of the programme, we'll check in with one of our correspondents around the world, review the latest theatre openings in New York, and speak to the author who claims that the tattoo might be the best way of illuminating our understanding of science. That's all to come here on Midori House with me, Andrew Tuck. So lots coming up here in the next hour on Midori House. But before all of that, here's David Spencer with the latest news.
Thank you, Monocle 24 News. I'm David Spencer. Israeli airstrikes on Gaza have continued as the army steps up a campaign against Hamas militants. Palestinian officials said at least 38 people have been killed. Missiles from Palestinian territory have continued to pound parts of Israel. No Israeli fatalities or serious injuries were reported. Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner is an Israeli military spokesman.
The military mission is twofold, primarily to strike Hamas and cause it a serious toll for the aggression that they have shown against Israel, and secondly, to deplete their rocket capability.
The bodies of more than 50 men have been found in Iraq. They were discovered in an area south of Baghdad where ISIS militants are not known to have been operating. The men had been bound and had gunshot wounds to the head and chest. The polls have closed in Indonesia's presidential election, with forecasts suggesting the governor of Jakarta, Joko Widodo, is in the lead. Official results won't be announced for 2 weeks, but exit polls give Mr. Widodo a narrow lead over his rival, former Army General Prabowo Subianto, though he's also claiming victory. Health workers in West Africa say another 25 deaths have been recorded from an Ebola outbreak. More than 450 people have so far died across Guinea, Sierra Leone and Liberia. The World Health Organization has warned it could spread to neighboring countries without a bigger effort to contain the disease. Prosecutors in Germany have searched the home of a second individual who's suspected of spying for the United States. A building in Berlin was searched days after an intelligence worker was arrested over claims they'd passed secret documents onto the US. The latest allegations risk further straining ties with Washington, which have been sorely tested by reports last year of large-scale snooping by the US National Security Agency. Britain's Secretary of State for Transport, Patrick McLoughlin, has called for the public to have patience with new aviation security measures announced this week. On Tuesday, advice was issued to the airline industry that requires passengers travelling with electronic devices in their hand luggage to show that those devices are operational and can be powered up. Last week, the United States requested tougher security at overseas airports with non-stop flights to its cities. Patrick McLoughlin hopes passengers will be understanding.
We'll do everything, as will the airlines and the airports, to try and keep queues down to a minimum. The best way that we can keep the queues down to a minimum is by people cooperating with the security forces at the airports. And I hope we can see any delays kept to a bare minimum.
South Sudan's president has called on rebels to resume peace talks as the country marked its third birthday. The celebrations have been overshadowed by fighting that's seen thousands killed. Clashes erupted in Juba in December, pitting the government forces of President Salva Kiir against supporters of his former deputy and long-time rival Riek Machar. Previous peace talks produced few results and stalled after they last met in Addis Ababa in May and agreed on a ceasefire. That's the latest news on Monocle 24.
Thanks very much, David. David, we're back with a roundup of the headlines at the bottom of the hour and, of course, another full bulletin at the top of the hour again. But you're listening to Midori House here on Monocle 24 and we're going to be right back after this.
London, New York, Tokyo. This is Monocle 24.
London, New York, Tokyo. Tu vai Monocle 24.
Londres, Nova York, Tokyo.
London, New York, Tokyo. Dette Monaco 24.
Londonist, New Yorkist, Tokyost. Se on Monaco 24.
London, New York, Tokyo. Monaco 24 des.
Londino, New York, Tokyo.
This is Monaco 24.
You're listening to Midori House and the time here in London is 18.06, which means it's 13.06 in New York. And joining me now in the studio with their take on the news today are Daniela Pellard and James Schneider. Daniela is an editor at the Institute for War and Peace Reporting and James is the editor of Think Africa Press. And both of them are regular voices, of course, here on Midori House. And welcome both to the programme. Now, we heard there in the top of the news about the situation in Israel and in Gaza, and that's where we're going to start today, because there has been an increase in attacks on the Gaza Strip as the Israeli army prepares for a possible ground invasion. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed that Hamas, which controls Gaza, will pay a heavy price for firing rockets deep into the country. So far, authorities in the enclave say that more than 30 people have been killed by Israeli airstrikes, including several women and children. Daniel, this is a region that you know very well. These things seem to follow a very kind of regular script. It doesn't seem very appealing for the Israelis really to go in and stay there for long on the ground. And it doesn't look there's much for Hamas to gain if it really kind of pushes Israeli over the precipice and finds Israeli troops actually in Gaza. Do you think we're going to find another point where they step back from the brink?
Well, I think facing a lose-lose situation has never been a deterrent for either side to behave in a pretty short-sighted way. You're quite right. We've been here before. The last time was in late 2012. That ended in a ceasefire between Israel Hamas, which has held pretty much ever since. I was in Gaza earlier this year reporting for Monaco, and I spoke to a senior Hamas leader who said in no uncertain terms, well, we are enforcing peace for Israel. We try and round up people, you know, that try and fire rockets and other groups. Hamas has not fired any weapons for 18 months. Israel doesn't accuse them of having fired any weapons. This is something new, and that's what means it's such a serious escalation. What Hamas has that the other groups in Gaza don't have are some serious weapons that can reach Tel Aviv, that couldn't reach the outskirts of Jerusalem even. And that is the only thing it really has left in its, not just its material armoury, but also its political armoury, because it's facing a really dreadful period ever since the change of regime in Cairo. The economy in the Strip is appalling. Goods coming in, out, the smuggling tunnels have completely folded. There's been a crisis there. The only thing that Hamas can do now to try and raise its image amongst its constituencies, try and strike hard at Israel. It hasn't managed to hit any casualties yet, but the worst case scenario in terms of escalation is for a rocket to fall in a kindergarten or a family house, something like that. Then Israel will be under great pressure from its own domestic constituencies to go in a ground operation. And you're quite right, a ground operation is a serious escalation that neither side wants.
James, they may not have hit any human casualty or caused any human casualties in Israel so far, but these rockets are going deeper and deeper into the country, and they are certainly kind of causing concern in Israel. But again, what's your reading of the situation? Do you think, Hugh, that Last time we saw the troops go up to the border of Gaza, and as we saw Hamas, we were just saying kind of back down, and there was a negotiated peace. But this time, following the kidnap of the three boys, there seems to be a hunger in Israel to kind of do something more.
Yeah, and also after the coming together of Hamas and the PLO to form a unity government for the Palestinian Authority as well, I think there's been a strong push from Israeli authorities to try to make Hamas look as bad as possibly can and undermine this sort of Palestinian unity that has emerged. And I think that is one of the kind of strategic driving forces of the current escalation, at least from the Israeli side. But then also when you talk about the capabilities of the rockets going further and further, and whilst the Iron Dome, the defensive thing, is working quite well and shooting down rockets, so I've read and seen a video of, it does make clear that the long-term security of Israeli citizens is not in continuing to blockade and siege Gaza and have the response to that, which is military and violent, from the Palestinians. They need to somehow work out how they can de-escalate not just this situation, but way more broadly. Otherwise, there will never be any security at all for the people of southern Israel who are within range of rockets.
The way out of this, Mahmoud Abbas has apparently called upon the Egyptians to kind of step in and try and negotiate some kind of ceasefire. And the Egyptians have said that they're certainly concerned about what's happening on their border. Do you think that's the most likely partner for any negotiations?
Well, the Egyptians have always taken traditionally the path of peacemaker, but the current government.